好，
多謝秀晶老師。
Thank you, Pastor Jenny.
聽秀晶老師分享好開心。
I'm always delighted to hear the sharing of Pastor Jenny.
她的生命，她對聖經的熟悉。
Her life, her knowledge about the Bible.
好祝福我們的 spirit.
很祝福我們的。
Always, they always bless us spiritually.
這個聖經，那個聖經的時候，她都不用看的，就背出來。
The amazing thing is, she doesn't even have to flip over the Bible, she just recite everything.I really envy that and I want to be like that. So thank you, God, that we have Pastor Jenny together with us. So let's go to chapter
3.
There's something very interesting about chapter 3. Between chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see that Holy Spirit is with the apostles. And then a Holy Spirit filled church is there. 3,000 people came to Christ. And then people start to have a lifestyle centered at Holy Spirit. And then everybody is carrying out the teaching of apostles. And apostles, they were performing miracles, wonders. And everybody was sharing the possessions, helping each other. And then a lot of time, they're breaking bread in the temple or at home, and they're worshiping God. And therefore, God is adding the numbers of believers to them. That is sort of like a conclusion. And it's concluding how a Holy Spirit-filled life for church and for a person can be like. And in chapter 3, we see that one incident is being depicted here. It is a daily example so that we can see with greater details how apostle is living out this sort of life on a daily basis. And we can see that how a Holy Spirit-filled church is like. Here, what we see is that a Holy Spirit-filled church is a church that has a miracle with them. And I like to put a focus on faith. So for church, the way to be is to have faith in God.With this faith, this church corporately can bring out the strength of life and therefore give miracles of life. Today, we also experience a lot of miracles of life in our church. And we see a lot of amazing things, amazing stories happening around. As we read this chapter here, we can also divide this chapter into three sessions. So, verse 1 to verse 10, first session.We see that here, miracles of life happened here. We see that church at the early stage was established. And then it started to create lives. It's as if Jesus giving life to people. And this church is also giving life to people around.And for this early stage church, it is the body of Christ. And through this body of Christ, Jesus also performed miracles. And does his work there. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He continues to perform miracles. He continues to give life.So at the beginning, we see that Peter and John, they were heading to the temple for prayer. And then we see this crippled man. And he was born crippled. He cannot be healed and he cannot walk. He doesn't have a life like us. He cannot even enter to the temple. So therefore, he can only be at a door that is called beautiful. And he begged there day and night.And as Peter and John saw him along the way as they were heading to the temple, they look at him, they stare at him straight. And I believe Peter was not only staring at him with his eyes, but he was looking straight into him with his spirit. And then he said to him, look at us.So this man gave them his attention. And he was watching what they can give him. And never Peter said to him, Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, walk. And therefore, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And this man's feet and ankles became strong. As we heard from Pastor Jenny, as we are healing, we're healing others. It is not only about a proclamation of you be healed, but then we also have to help that person, help that person up. And you see that in that process, this man becomes strong again, and then he jumped to his feet. So this life which is crippled, it becomes life that can jump and walk, and this life can enter the temple together with the apostles, the believers. And that is very important. Originally, this man is separated from God. He was neglected. He was abandoned. He couldn't even enter the temple. He couldn't see God's face. But now, he received life, and he can come before the Lord. He can enter the temple, and therefore he was jumping, and he was praising God. That is a flying life. That is a jumping life. Originally, he was begging there. But now, he can jump, he can praise. The ministry of church is about this. It's to bring this sort of lives. So, cell group leaders, as we're serving in cell group, this is what we are hoping for. For everyone who comes to the church, they're crippled, they're blind. Maybe they are full of sins, they're greed, they're ignorant, they're poor, they cannot tell right from wrong. And they might be suicidal. They might be gambling. And you see that they have a lot of problems. It's so messed up. That is broken life. It's a lifeless life. But praise the Lord. For our ministry and our service, one thing that we do is to allow them to gain life. If they're crippled, you have to allow them to walk. If they're blind, you have to allow them to see. If they're poor, you have to allow them to be rich. If they're ignorant, you allow them to have wisdom, knowledge. If they have very low self-esteem, you are to help him to have faith in God and to be able to see himself correctly. If he has nothing, you have to help him to enter into abundancy. If they have broken marriage, you have to allow them to reconcile. If their children are straying, you have to help the children to come back. So for whoever comes to the church, what exactly is our service to people? How do we serve every single person? You have to allow these people to become whole. They have to become whole. Just like Jesus is complete, is whole. And Jesus is also carrying into his completion just like that. And with the body of Christ, Christ's spirit is in us. Whatever he was doing yesterday, today we continue to do this. Christ was giving people's lives, so therefore we're giving others life. Christ is complete, so therefore we also grow to this completion, this wholeness, and we help others to enter into this wholeness. It's about maturity. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the will of God being able to carry out. God created everybody with a purpose. So therefore, as we're serving each person, we have to allow God's will to be able to actualize in their life. For example, God created Tommy. It's not for Tommy to feel very low about himself. It's not for him to have none achievement. But then it is for him to rise up and serve. And therefore, we took Tommy into our community, our body, to allow his life to change. We pick a lot of people into our church. As we receive them into our church, they're all broken, very broken. As we were in the North Point Pier, we have a room called Adelan.
The name of this room means that whoever come here, they come to depend on King David. They're poor, they have nothing, nothing's going right in their life. This is what I see in our team. I think apart from Pastor Deborah, actually he is also quite strange.
我想问一个市正啲嘅，最市正应该系我哋嘅俊男美女啦，系咪？
I'm trying to pick someone who is more normal according to social standard.
但其实都好多需要。但是里面很多需要。
Well, but then I would say that even someone who look so perfect outwardly, they will still have a lot of need. You see him as perfect, but if you are his wife, you will know the details. A lot of weaknesses. The beauty queen among us. The Mr. Perfect among us. Once you really enter their life, you know the brokenness and weaknesses. Remembering what Pastor Chow told us last night, all of us are very dark. Every one of us, we're very dark. We're very weak. As we come to the house of God, we are poor in spirit. We have lots of needs. But God allows us to hide in Him. And then in Adullam, we become the warrior of David. And we become part of the warrior for His kingdom. Of course, our David is Jesus. Amen. So today, God also desire that the purpose He created in your life to be actualized. And this is what church is for. Church is not only about the routine of doing worship services, Sunday school, but cell group leaders, you have to know that for whoever that comes to your group to receive healing, a service, they have a lot of needs. And we have to help them to become complete. Of course, you have to grow. And you have to grow to become whole and mature. We are still not completely mature. And all of your cell group members are just like that. So don't despise them because they have problems. They might have a lot to confess. And then they go back to sins again and they repeat that perpetually. But don't abandon them just because of that. As they can come to you, there's someone whom God trusts you for. So therefore, you have to help them to grow in their life. Help them, just like this crippled man, so that they can jump and praise. So therefore, we have to help each brother and sister who come to our church to be able to jump and praise the Lord in their life. Just like this man here, he was jumping, he was praising, he was walking. And this is how we follow God. We walk, we praise, we jump, we walk into the destiny God gave us, that we do not follow the way of the world, but then we come to follow the path of God, the path that God wants us to follow, and we come to carry out the will of God. Amen. And the purpose for all our ministry is not only for this man to change, but it's for God. Because God has a purpose in his life. God has a purpose for this world. God has a purpose for this community. So therefore, we follow God's will and we obey his will. May his kingdom come. May his will be done here. And we do what God wants us to do. So all to ultimately, this is for God. All is for God. Because God wants us to do that, so therefore we do that. But we have to first discern God's will. Coming to the second session, that is verse 11 to verse 16. This is a very crucial part. That is about creating the faith for a lively life. At the first session, we talk about creating a life. This is what church has to do, and that is what early churches are doing. But why Apostle John and Apostle Peter can carry out this miracle? In the past, they couldn't even do small miracles just like the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. They cannot even carry that out. In the past, Jesus asked Peter to walk on the water and he couldn't even do that. For every test that Peter received from Jesus, he failed every single one of them. All the miracles, opportunity, he failed them. So they went on the boat and they were in a storm. And Jesus was sleeping. He could sleep through a storm. I think he did that intentionally. Because normally anybody would be waking up by the storm. But he was training these disciples. He was trying to allow them to see that you should have this faith that you can carry out miracles. But then they don't have the faith, so they shake Jesus. So therefore, Jesus rebuked them and said, oh, you little faith. But now this is about the body of Christ. This is about the church of Christ. And they can carry out these miracles. Why can they do that? How come this time they can create these miracles of a life that can jump before God? It's because they're filled by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gave them faith. And therefore they have this faith. So here, I would like us to put a focus on one place. Peter was trying to explain how this miracle happened. He's actually preaching in this session. And he explained, this has nothing to do with our ability or our own righteousness. This is not about us. But who?
This is Jesus.
It is Jesus whom you disown, the holy and the righteous one. The one whom you killed, but God raised him up from dead. You disowned him. In fact, you asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him up from the dead. And we're witnessing that. So therefore, we're trying to tell you that Jesus has already resurrected. The one you have nailed on the cross, resurrected. The fact that this crippled man can walk right now, it is not because of our ability, but it is all because of Jesus, and we are his witness. Why we can do this? How come this crippled man can walk? By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It's the name of Jesus. It's Jesus himself. It's because we have faith in Jesus. And therefore, Jesus carried out this miracle. It's because of this faith that he enabled us to have. This man is healed in front of you, and you can all see that. For whoever come before us, we have to allow them to become whole. They have to be healed. But how? It is by the name of Jesus. And all of us know that if we trust in the name of Jesus, we can receive healing. But let us just look at the faith of Peter and John. We see that our faith is different than his faith. They only believe in the name of Jesus, and this man already received healing. How did they receive this faith? In the first session, we saw that these two apostles, they walk by this door called Beautiful, and then they look at this man. And then they told this man, look at us. So the man looked at them. And then they helped him up. And he received healing. He said, I don't have silver or gold, but I give you Jesus. And therefore he can walk. If it's just us, say, if it is us, our church, And downstairs, we see crippled men there. Perhaps most of the time we just walk by him and then at most we just say to him, do you know that Jesus can heal you? Even that takes courage from us. And perhaps we say, oh, I pray for you. I bless you. And then he said, oh, okay, bless me. And then you pray. And then you say, oh, God, give him healing. And then you ask, oh, do you feel better? Can you try? If we can go to that extent of outreaching, that is already pretty amazing. And most of the time, we don't even dare to go that far. Usually, we just dismiss the person and pretend we don't see him. And for those people who come to our church, Pastor Deborah, he's already very courageous. She'll go to that person and pray for the person, help that person to walk. She's already doing it very well. But in our hearts, a lot of time, we think that prayers are prayers. But the authority to heal, that is from God, and it's for God to decide. If he receives healing, that's great. If he doesn't receive healing, just wait a little bit more. Maybe God has his own timetable. A lot of us, that is our faith. It is already much better than most people because a lot of people won't even dare to pray that. Say if a cancer patient is in front of you and asks you for prayer, you might not even know what to do. Say if a dying person comes to you and say, oh, pray for me, what would you do? I remember one time this person came to me and said, I feel that there were evil spirit pulling my legs. And I said, oh, you're thinking too much. In the past, we were like that. We do not know how to fight for him. Actually, Peter and John, they have a faith. The faith is that they know that what they have to do is what Jesus needs to do. For our faith, we have to know that what we see is that, oh, what we have to do, maybe it's not what God wants to do. So that's what most of the time we render to a sort of mentality that saying, if God is doing something, let him do it. But if God doesn't do anything, just let it be. But I think we have to improve our faith. Actually, in God's heart, he gave you his life. By my name, just ask for anything, I have to do it for you. We can't believe that most of the time. But the name of Jesus is powerful. But then we don't have a faith about the power of the name. You see, this is our problem. Peter and John, they have this faith. But our faith haven't reached that stage. So therefore, we still cannot come to create an instant life changes in front of us. Overall speaking, we have good faith. So therefore, we still see a lot of life turned around, and we have a lot of testimony coming out from our church. And you see that a lot of people come out and share. I can just point to whoever here, and maybe you already have a testimony. I remember when I was in my church in Vancouver, nobody was willing to give a testimony. Brother and sister, today we have to continue to improve our faith. Amen? And let's move to the third section. For this life-changing miracle, it has to be furthered. And this is the last session. It doesn't stop there. What we see is that it is not an individual kind of matter, and it's not only for individual life to rise up. What we see is that Peter and John here, they have a vision that all the Israelites
their lives has to be turned around, has to be changed. So therefore, they also mentioned that Christ is to come back. They mentioned that God raised up Jesus among them is to have them to repent, to know God, so that their life can be turned around and can become alive. And today, we also have this vision for Hong Kong, China, Asia. People's life in these places has to be turned around, that they can walk, they can follow, they can jump and praise God, following apostles, jumping and praising God. In the past, they were beggars, but now they have to rise up and praise God. So let's close our eyes together. May the Spirit open our eyes and let us see that people in Hong Kong, their lives,
原本是在搶東西啊,
you see that originally it's a lot of greed. They're snatching things for themselves. A lot of addictions, a lot of oppressions. However, as Jesus' name is given out, these people become awake and they start walking, they start jumping, and they start following Jesus. They start praising God. In MTR, in shopping malls, on streets, everyone is talking about Jesus. Everyone is praising God. Hong Kong is like that. Taiwan will be like that. Macau will be like that. China will be like that. Everybody rise up and start praising God. They're jumping and praising God. And for this whole phenomenon, it spread out to the entire China and continued to move towards the west, Kyrgyzstan, Iran, Iraq, Serbia, Israel, Turkey, the entire Asia. Rise up, lives rise up and jump around, praise and worship God, give glory to God. And Jesus, full of glory, come from heaven, and a new Jerusalem come, and forever we will be with God.